Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 3M Open from Minnesota. For everybody on this week's PGA Tour action, you can find myself on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. A fun weekend, final major in the books. Cam Smith was amazing, absolutely amazing on Sunday. Great golf. Like, I even had friends that don't watch a ton of golf calling me, asking me questions about the golf course. It was very entertaining to me, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. What did you think of the Open?
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, you know, you could say Rory gave it away.
I think Cam won it.
Cam, dude, five in a row on that backside is just tough. I mean, the wind wasn't up. There wasn't a whole lot of defense of the golf course. I don't know, man. It was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
That part was a bummer to me. I wanted a little more of a challenge. Like, I don't know if I wanted what Shane Lowry experienced at Port Rush, or just pure chaos with the wind, but I wanted a little bit of something. It was also weird because usually I know the course is literally built on relying on rain. I get it. I just don't remember ever watching the old course that burnt out before. It's usually pretty green and luscious. So that changed things as well. Obviously, like, you'd see shots get hit and they were driving so many more holes than they used to drive just because it would roll for days. They'd cut the corner, went on 17 over the hotel and like drive the 400 or something. You're like, it was just insane what they were able to do. But hey, that's the way the course plays. That's how they always say, like, when the average Joe can play it sometimes because it rolls forever. And it's just, it's a different build. I still thought it was nuts. And that's where some of my friends would call and ask questions that, you could hit a perfectly good drive, and even the announcers, as dumb as they can be at times, would think you're going straight into a bunker or something, and it would hit a bump and go like 30 yards to the left, or like you basically hit it and pray, is what it came down to.
Yeah, I mean, when it's like that, like those bunkers and the fairway bunkers didn't really matter as long as you just aimed it far enough away from them. I mean, you just missed them. Just they weren't into play as much as I think that they have been in the past. And then the other thing is, if the bunkers around the greens kind of were, but I mean, you know, anytime that they tucked one behind a bunker on most holes, you just blast it past it and then have a, you know, 40, 50, 100 footer coming back and two putted, or, you know what I'm saying. So I don't know. I don't really remember 2015 too much. I felt like it rained a lot more then, but they, you know, Zach Johnson still got the 15 under. I don't know if the old course needs a little redesign or what it is, but, feel like it needs something different.
Yeah, it just felt like even like 18, like for a finishing hole with like a 130 yard wide fairway and nothing to really stop you besides a random bunker, that seemed a little like, and everyone's driving it, so it's like, okay, if you needed birdie, unless you're Rory McIlroy, you're probably getting a birdie. Like, it was just it was just one of those deals where it felt like it was, you kind of want something a little more dramatic on 18. Like, we're gonna get it at 3M, we got a great par five at 3M. But you figured there'd be a little more to it. And again, like you said, is I remember watching golf on the old course. I don't remember 2015 like vividly by any means. It just felt like there was always more teeth involved when you played the old course. But hey, it was still great. Everyone played the same thing. And the thing I laughed about more often than not, because, you know, waking up on the West Coast, I still woke up like at 5-ish in the morning, so it wasn't like crazy. But for the most part, each day, whoever went out early –
yeah,
just lit the golf course on fire.
Yeah, yeah. There were some low scores in the morning times. I mean, starting with, especially on Saturday with Kisner going out shooting 7-under. Mm-hmm. And then a few others, I think, Sunday. So, yeah, it was different, but it was fun to watch because it's such different golf than what we play, you know, over here in the States. A lot of putting from off the green, which I think is really, would be really fun and really cool. Yep. And I, you know, Cam deserved it. I mean, he did lead the field in putting, but he also played the golf course properly for at least three out of 4 days. I'm not really sure what happened to him on Saturday. I didn't get to see a whole heck of a lot of that, but he played really solidly on Friday and then again on Sunday. I mean, you shoot a couple 64s, you should win a major.
Yeah. 264s, which I don't think's ever been done. Lowest final round, I think, to win a golf tournament in a major. So many things. The lowest round, I think, in the Open Championship, British Open, 20 under. Just so many things that he pulled off that was damn impressive. What do you think about his post round kind of ignoring Liv question stuff that sounded sketchy as hell?
Yeah, it's concerning, man. I think him and Hideki are kind of the two next guys that are rumored. I mean, I don't know how true either one of those rumors are, to be honest with you. I feel like they would have announced by now if they were going to play in a couple weeks, whenever their next tournament is.
They have a tournament, I think it's this weekend or next weekend, one of the two.
Yeah, I haven't heard much chatter about Liv at all this week other than, the rumors. So, yeah, I mean, the Liv guys played better this week than they had.
Very good.
At the U.S. Open. So, it's... I don't know, man. I mean, it's if I were the commissioner of the PGA Tour, I would be trying to figure some shit out.
Yeah, I'd be a little nervous. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
The only real big news of guaranteed movement, and some people are saying maybe they'll wait till after the FedEx, get their money from that, and then go to Liv. Some are saying get their PIP money, then go to Liv. Like, there's different things because we're getting close to the end of the season here.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
But the only major move is David Flaherty went to Liv, which actually I think is a great move for them. Gives him some spice in the booth, and they'll let him do what he wants, unlike NBC, right. Which, like, Flaherty's so great to listen to, and they let him just kind of be unleashed. So that'll be fun to check out. And then after that Century tournament in Tahoe, Barkley said he's in talks with Liv. So that could be interesting as well. Like, I don't know how entertaining that would be, but it'd probably be something. So
I saw something where if he went to Liv, then TNT was going to cut him or something.
Yeah, it's just – I don't want to get into the whole politics of it all because, everything in this world has a splash of Saudi in it. So pick your battles, I guess. But, we'll see how it goes. But it should be a lot of fun to continue to see that drama unfold. But we have 3M this week. And we had Barracuda as well, Chez Reavie, the only player – 40 years or older has won a golf tournament this year. That was a stat I heard, which, in years past, we've had a couple 40-year-olds breaking it. He was the first one this year. So that says a lot about the youth movement on the PGA Tour. Other than that, the Barracuda was fun and all, but nothing crazy. So we don't have to go deep into that. But any final thoughts on the British Open before we head to Minnesota?
I don't. It's just sad that we have to wait till April for the next major.
Yeah,
we got the worst.
A ways to go, that's for sure. That is an absolute shame. But let's talk 3M Open. We got, three or four renditions of this one so far. So what do you got for some past event history?
Yeah, it's three. It's been held at TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, which is a suburb of Minneapolis. Last year, Cam Champ won 15 under, two shots over Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel, and Johnny Vegas. 2020 was... Michael Thompson, 19 under, two shots over Adam Long. And in 2019, Matthew Wolf won 21 under, one shot over Bryson and Colin Morikawa, which if you think about just those two names, this field has gone way downhill since the first rendition of it. I know that they were younger then, and Matt Wolf was, and Morikawa was just starting up, and Bryson was kind of too, but... Yeah, this field comparatively,
Well, and this event used to also not be the weekend after the British Open, which has an effect as well. They changed it on the schedule, but I still think this would probably be a lackluster field because we have three events before the FedEx. Guys have been playing a ton with the majors and everything.
Yeah,
we got a few okay names already said for the Rocket Mortgage next week. You'll probably get a few more for Wyndham and then FedEx time. So this was a natural week off period
for sure
is what it comes down to. But you mentioned it, TPC Twin Cities, over, it's a par 71, 7,431 yards, four par threes, all over 175, a couple all close to 230. I got 11 par fours, a couple below 400. About three of them you can probably drive at times. Three par fives, all gettable, all need to be birdied holes. But I mentioned the 18th is a fun one. They're all over. They're all between 575 and or 550 and 600, I should say. So if you're using that button on Fantasy National, that makes it real easy for the par five scoring to see how those guys fare. But 18, like I was gonna say, is You have water all along the right side. If you want to be super aggressive and hit an amazing shot, you can get there in two. This is the same hole that Bryson eagled, and then Matt Wolf had to eagle to beat him that year. Most guys will lay up and just, you know, wedge it in and take the birdie and walk away. But you can get aggressive if you need to. And I mentioned the water. That's like the biggest deterrent on this golf course. There's water in play almost on every hole, if not on every hole. It is crazy. But very wide fairway, so it's not like it's super, super penal. But if you're just wayward, you will find water, and then obviously you're in trouble. The rough is not penal at all. It's super easy to get out of the rough. One of the easiest courses to hit greens and regulations are above average size greens. And it turns into a bit of a putting contest from time to time. So there's some of the easiest greens to putt on tour. So the biggest thing is just avoid the water. And if your approach game's on, it's a longer iron course. You have a lot of approaches from 175 to 200 plus. That's one of the ranges you'll see as a very common theme on this golf course. And other than that, like approach game, I think if you can drive it in the fairway, you're going to be very effective. If you can drive it long in the fairway, you're going to torch this golf course. Birdies can be had, but the water can come into play. You'll get some crooked numbers from time to time. So it should be a fun one with a lot of craziness to ensue. What do you have for stats on this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there with what you said. You know, obviously waiting birdie or better, just given the scores for the winner over the past 3 years. So, and then par five scoring, I think, matters this week as well.
And I forgot to mention, for those that care, it's bent grass greens. All right, let's get into the DK, and it's messy, and we don't have a lot of 10K. We don't have a lot of 9K, guys. It's all down below for the most part. And you mentioned you like Bryson and Morikawa, and even Wolf would have been a welcome addition to this field.
Yeah.
Two of them are in LIV, so that's not happening. But 10K and above, we got Finau at 10.5, Hideki at 10.3, Sungjae at 10,000. Wow. All right, what do you like in here?
I mean, I feel like it's like Finau or nobody. He finished 28th here last year. He's been playing better. He played well last week. I don't know exactly where he finished, but he made the cut. And obviously then Hideki, I mean, to be honest with you, nobody. You know, I'm probably not going to play any of these guys. Definitely wouldn't bet them, because when we get to that, DK put the odds back up, by the way, if you refresh. I just don't think I'll play any of these guys, but if I was going to play one of them, it would be Finau. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, Finau's third in my model. Hideki's fifth. Like, I love Hideki. When you talk about approach game, it's great. Not sure where his head's at. Rough week at the Open, where he finished T68, missed cut at the Scottish Open, but fourth at the U.S. Open. Those have been his last three tournaments. Finau finished 28th last week. I'm with you. I go Finau. He's one of only two players to have a top 30 finish or better in all three renditions of this tournament. So, and you mentioned that third place, our second or third place finish a couple years ago. So, yeah, it's Finau or bust pretty much. In reality, you can start the 8K range in this field if you really feel like it. I know people get annoyed when I say it, but it's the tournament talk, like we've talked about, with all the water in play. This is a great week to play the ownership game. Like, great week to just, like, you know what? I'm going to take the 10% change here and take this guy that has an equal chance to win this golf tournament as the other guy. But, yeah, if you're going up top, I don't mind Finau. He's first in bogey avoidance. He's first in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds in this field. And in the proximity we're looking at from 175 to 200, he's fourth. So, yeah, he rates out pretty, pretty good indeed. 9K range, you got Thigala at 98, who had a pretty good weekend over there in Europe. Hadron at 96, who's got great course history. McNealy at 93, Riley at 9K. So you have four guys in the 9K range. What do you like in here?
Definitely like Thigala. Like, love him, especially at this price in this field. I think he's going to win soon. And if you look back at the, you know, the kind of winners here in this event, they've all been younger, close to first time. I mean, this was Wolf's first win. I don't think it was Champ's first win, because he won in California like the year before. And Michael Thompson, I think that's probably his only win ever. But definitely love Thigala. Just going to hammer him. McNealy is another guy who is playable. I feel like he's good on par fives. Finished ninth last week at the Barracuda, 16th the week before that Scottish, and eighth the week before that at the John Deere, 16th here last year. And then I do think that Davis Riley will be chalk again. you know, his last couple starts, he's been over 15%. He was almost 20% at the Travelers, and he's projected to be pretty high this week as well, but still like the guy. I mean, he's playing well. Never played here before, though.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Thigala has made 12 straight cuts. They're not all, like, he's got a couple 67ths in there and stuff, but for the most part, he's playing great golf. He's
11th. I was surprised last week. I didn't see that coming, but obviously he's a Lynx type of guy. When, like, in the wind, was it up? I'm not 100% sure how good he is in the wind, but yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, 34th at the Open, 16th at John Deere. This could be a similar type John Deere feel to it. Second at the Travelers. Like, dude's playing some great golf. We saw him at TPC Scottsdale. If you want to play the TPC narrative, play really well out there in Arizona. So I don't mind Thigala at all. And he's first in this field in par five scoring over the last 24 rounds. So we said you got to take advantage of the par fives, even if it's just birdies. You don't have to eagle them, but you have to birdie them, because I think it's 12 or 13 of these holes on this golf course have birdie rates of 10% or better. You better birdie the par fives. That's just the thing that's going to have to happen. So I think Thigala is very strong as well. McNealy coming in amazing form. You mentioned the Barracuda finish. Just overall playing some really, really good golf. 16th at the Scottish, 8th at the John Deere. Don't mind some McNealy as well. And then Davis Riley is going to be super popular, like you mentioned. He's second in my model. He's like second in opportunities gained in the last 24 rounds. He's third in strokes gained approach. He's fifth in DK scoring. He's fifth in birdie or better. The dude just lights up the scoreboard, which you want in DraftKings. Like, he might have some tilting holes, but he is a scoring machine, which is what we want in this event. Going to be super chalky, so keep that in mind. The only guy we didn't mention is Adam Hadwin. Like I said, he's got the great course history coming in here. He's got a sixth and a fourth. T6 in 21, fourth in 2019. I'm not going to have any Adam Hadwin. We played this game a couple events ago with Adam Hadwin, I believe, when he was expensive and chalky. That did not go well for many. If Adam Hadwin beats me, so be it. But I will not be going with Adam Hadwin.
Same.
All right. In the 8K range, you got Cam Davis at 89, Tringali at 88, Chez coming off the W at the Barracuda at 87, Adam Long at 86, Post at 85. So bummed Mark Hubbard withdrew. He's playing amazing golf. Brennan Steele is 83. Martin Laird off a nice finish, the Barracuda at 82. And Nick Hardy at 8,000. Yeah, CH3 withdrew as well. A lot of withdrawals, folks, so keep that in mind. But
yeah,
they withdrawal were down. Or CH3 had great course history, and Hubbard playing great golf. Two big misses there. So what do you like in the 8K range?
They were down to like the 14th alternate last I saw. Yeah.
Marty Fish is in this event. He's a former tennis player that excels in Tahoe.
Okay. Yeah. Start at the top with the two Camerons. A couple of reasons. One, because if you played the two Camerons last week, congratulations. And just go back to them this week. Cam Davis, especially, $8,900, finished 20th here last year. Two straight top 10s for him. And then Tringali, $8,800, 16th here last year, 6th at the Scottish Open. And he made the cut at St. Andrews. I'm not sure exactly where he finished on that. The pivot here, in my opinion, is Adam Long at 8,600. Nobody will play him. Finished 25th here last year. Has backed up last three straight top 25s on tour. Mm-hmm. I feel like Reavy and Poston will get a little bit more ownership. I'm not on them. Steele's okay at his price. He hasn't missed a cut since late February. Has a couple top 10s mixed in there. Laird has a tendency to kind of go low. He's a GPP only play for me, coming off a third place finish last week. And then last but not least is Nick Hardy. I love this range. I mean, I think it's a really good range. Hardy's played really well. I do expect him to be chalky, because at the John Deere, he was 25% on an $8,700, similar field, $8,000. Don't think you're going to get him at a discount as far as ownership goes this week, but I do like Hardy.
And he played well at the Barracuda. So
yeah,
people will see that recent finish as well. I love Cam Davis this week. He's 10th in my model, 3rd in bogey avoidance, 6th in DK scoring. He's a guy that can bomb the ball. So if he can just find the fairies with those drives, tons of birdie chances to come for Cam Davis. So I like that one a lot. And he played well here in the past without even having to use driver. So I like Cam Davis. Don't mind Tringali. Great course history here. You mentioned the form coming in. I love the Adam Long call. He's 39th in my model, so it might like deter a lot of people. You know, his opportunities gained aren't great. He's not great in par five scoring based on the models, if you look at them. But he's great in bogey avoidance. You mentioned the course history here, which is tremendous, and the recent form. Those are his last 12 rounds. So if I bet you if I updated this model for 12 rounds, this might be a little different story we see here over the last 24 rounds. So I like the Adam Long call as a pivot for sure. So I think a lot will go to posting just because what they've seen from him of late. He's 20th in the model. Like, everything's checking good for JT. So you can get a nice pivot there from Long. Don't mind Marty Laird. I like Nick Hardy. I'm with you on both of those. The one that scares me, Jesse, and we just need to talk about it because I need to hear your thoughts on this. Brendan Steele is number one in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's fourth in opportunities gained, second on strokes gained approach, first off the tee, first in good drives, eighth in DK scoring, seventh in par five scoring, and he's second in shots 200 plus. So he rates out phenomenally over the last 24 rounds. He's coming in actually decent form. I'll give him that much. If you look at Brendan Steele, all I got is a 25th of the travel. I think he's made like six straight cuts. But, man, first in the model, it's a detriment to the field, I guess. But Brendan Steele, what does your model tell you?
Yeah, I mean, he's close to the top of mine on Fantasy Labs. I mean, I'll tell you where he is exactly. He's like one, two, three, four, five. He's sixth in mine. Okay, so
that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah. I mean, so he's playing solidly. I mean, it's just one of those things where he hit 86% of the greens of the Travelers and couldn't putt worth a shit and finished 25th.
Yeah.
You know, hit a bunch of greens at the Memorial, finished 10th. You know, I mean, he's not necessarily who I want to play in like birdie fest, but in this field, I mean, I'm willing to take the chance at, you know, at this price versus, you know, somebody I think is going to be more popular, you know, like Poston or Reavie.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And you nailed the issue. Like, all of his stats are great except strokes game putting over the last 24 rounds.
Yeah, it's
bad. He's 127th in this field. Like, it's bad, bad. But we've seen guys get hot at time. Like, so you
yeah,
never
I mean,
know.
That, you know, he yeah. could for sure.
We've I mean, seen all him do it in Hawaii. Could. So right. you never know. But I just wanted to talk about him for a second because that one's a surpriser to me. Oh, and if you want to get real crazy with narrative streets, because that's, you know, why not? Cam Champ won the Safeway and won here. Steele's won the Safeway twice. Maybe there's a correlation. Just throwing it out there. Just that's the most far shot correlation, people just messing around right now. 75 to 79, you got Goddard, who'll be very popular at $7,900. You got Palmer, Champ, Jason Day, Brendan Todd, Ricky Fowler at 77, even in this field. Adam Svensson, Griot, Fratelli, CT Pan, Neesmith, Higo, and Wyndham Clark. Getting fun, Jesse. What do you like here?
Yeah, got her up for sure. $7,900. He was ultra chalky at the Barbasol and missed the cut after shooting three over the first day. I don't know that he's going to be super chalk. You know, he's probably the highest guy below 8K probably. But, you know, I still think he's I think it's fine to go back to him. I think that miscut might scare some people off. So Griot at 7,600. He did miss the cut here last year, but it's coming off a second place finish at the John Deere. And Svensson at 7,600 as well. Has never played here, but finished sixth at the Barbasol. Hasn't missed a cut since the Wells Fargo back in early May. So playing really, really well right now. And he was leading the Barbasol for a long time and basically just couldn't get it done and couldn't make enough birdies in that birdie fest. And then Wyndham Clark at 7,500, missed the cut here last year, but has two straight made cuts. Finished seventh at the Canadian Open if you go all the way back 4 weeks or four starts. So I think he's fine.
It's a tough range for me. Like, I like Goddard for sure at 79. I think everyone, I think he's going to be popular. So we'll see how that one plays out. I think going back to Cam Champ in a tournament at 78 is spicy. 36th in my model, seventh driving distance, third off the tee, fourth and 200 plus proximity. There's always the tilt fest with Cam Champ, but man, we've seen him do it here before. If he can get hot, because his putter is bad too, he's a fun one. I love Adam Svensson. He's probably my favorite play in this range at 7,600. And then a guy I just always get suckered into because the stats like play out really well. He just, it's all or nothing with him. Is CT Pan. Like, he's 18th in my model. He's horrible in par fives, but he's pretty much like 30th or better in most other main categories that I have looked at here. So CT Pan at 75 would be a guy I'd be willing to look at as well. Like, you can make arguments for a few others in tournaments, but it's dicey and it's only going to get better. 7K to 74, Jesse, what do you like? I actually like more guys here than I did in the top range.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar for me. Cheston Hadley at 7,300, made the cut here last year, finished 58th, has five straight made cuts on tour. Jung Kim, which is, I guess he's been referred to as Tom.
Tom Kim, yeah.
Now he's, I've got, at least on Fantasy Labs, he's projected to be 18% owned.
He should be popular. As well as he's playing to be 7,300 in those fields, very surprising.
Where did he finish last week?
Let me find out for you. He finished, I have it right here, at the Open. Kim, 47th. He kind of fell off on the weekend.
Yeah, but he made the cut. Cramer Hickok at 7,200 has never played here, but has two straight made cuts, including the 13th place finish at the Barbasol a couple weeks ago. And then last but not least for me in this range, Michael Gillick, $7,000, finished 49th here last year, has not missed a cut on tour since mid-April, has some top 10 sprinkled in there. Been playing a lot of these types of events as far as like not huge fields or great fields here recently, and has done pretty well. So $7,000, I feel like he's a pretty solid play.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. Tom Kim, I do like. I'm with you on that. Playing really good golf at 73. I think Michael Thompson, you know, he's won here before. You can go at that angle with Thompson. You know, he's made three straight cuts here, 39th, first, 85th. So he's got some form at this golf course. His current form, missed cut at the Barbasol, 59th of the Deer. Not the best, but you can definitely make a course history argument if you so choose for him. I like the Chesson Hadley call. I kind of like to weight the current form right now on this golf course because his current form will help them stay in the fairway and get the approach game. I think anybody can, like you said, first timers can walk in here and play well. Yeah. So that current form kind of votes a little stronger than like Michael Thompson's course history narrative to me. So Chesson Hadley at 73, I like that call a lot. Grayson Sigg down here at $7,200. Talk about a guy that wants to go low. He can go low, like at the Barbasol 27th, the Deer 16th. So in those smaller events, he can definitely get you those birdies. No previous events here for him. Like the Hickok call as well. T-Dunks missed the cut here last year, but coming in really, really good form. He rates out sixth in my model. He's seventh in approach. Eighth from 175 to 200, which a lot of your shots will be. 11th in good drive, 16th in fairways gain. So he'll find those results well. And then 13th at the Barbasol with Drew at the Deer, 46th the Travelers. I'll take my chances with T-Dunk on that one. Patton Kizzire at 71, missed cut at the Barbasol, but 16th of the Deer, 64th the Travelers. And so decent, okay current form, plus three straight made cuts here, 39th, 46th, 34th. So Kizzire, like we've seen in the past, he likes certain courses, so I might want to run back with that one. Then, like I think I say it every show, Nate Lashley is always rates out well for me, so I always get stuck with Nate Lashley. He's always cheap, always cheap. So $7,000, he'll get a click or two from me. Another guy will be Callum Tarran, first time playing here, but we've seen him go really low in tournaments. Missed cut at the Scottish, sixth at the Deer, missed cut at the Travelers, 31st at the U.S. Open. Even though with two missed cuts in those four events, he's gained on over 14 strokes total on the field. So it's usually the putter with Mr. Callum Tarran. So keep that in mind. And then I'm with you on Gillick. I think he's a really good call. 21st, 10th, 40th in his last three events. So I like this range a lot, especially for tournaments. You can kind of get a core up top and mix and match these dudes. You wouldn't be shocked if any of them had like a T20 finish in this event. So you can definitely make some tournament arguments down here. Even more tournament arguments in the 6K range. Jesse, what do you like?
Yeah, Brandon Matthews at 69. Last start I have for him, I'm guessing he's been playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, was a U.S. Open. He finished 60th. Bo Hoag at 6,800, finished 16th here last year. Made the cut last week at the Barracuda. And Sung Yul Ngo at 6,300. I don't know how much I'll actually be down here doing this, but four straight made cuts for him on tour. And then at 6,400, I don't have him for whatever reason in Fantasy Labs at this point, but Chris Nagel, I think he's Monday qualified like three or four straight weeks. He missed the cut at the Barbasol, but 16th at the John Deere, made the cut at the U.S. Open. So been playing solidly. So $6,400, I think he's worth a shot.
Yeah, it's another fun range. Talking about current form versus recent or past event history, Bryce Garnett, he's missed like at least three straight cuts, but he's made all three cuts here, T26 or better. Him and Finau are the only two to be top 30 or better in all 3 years at this golf tournament. He's $6,900, so pick your poison. I think Justin Lauer at 69 is very good. He's never played here before, but coming in really strong form when it comes to approach, birdie or better, all those kind of key stats. I love the Bo Hoag call. he's a guy that it's all about, going low, and it's all or nothing. You mentioned his recent form here, which is fun. Brendan Hagee is number one in this field in driving distance. So if you're a driving distance believer, you can go there. And the reason I wanted to mention him, miscut T46 at this event, but T27 at the Barbasol, T63 at Deer. Miscut T16 at the Deer. So that's Hogue. I'm an idiot. Hagee, they're all the same to me right now. Hagee, yeah, T27, T63. I got that one right. A few others. Austin Cook coming in great form. Three straight made cuts. Satoshi Kodaira is another guy that can go low. Then Roger Sloan, he's missed every cut, but past event history, he's made multiple cuts here. So he can be a guy to look at. But yeah, there's not much I want to be down here for. The only guy I'll ask you, because you're usually on him, but he T27 at the Barbasol. And at this event, he has a T28, T32, T66 for $6,200. Can I entice you on some Jason Duffner?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're down there, yeah. I mean, like, that's great, but
you gotta be desperate.
If you're down there, man, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
I mean, it's probably gonna make your lineup different. Like, this really, really gonna be difficult to stay off the chalk. Number one this week, and then number two, make sure that your lineup is unique going into it. Leaving money on the table, picking those guys down low, good ways to do that.
Yeah, leaving money on the table for sure. And like I said, it's like that 7K range, or even some of the 8K guys play the ownership there. Take the chalk up top if you want, like take the Davis Rileys or take the Tony Finau, whatever you want to do. But if you want to differentiate it down below, because you're starting to, like, when we look at the odds to win, it gets murky quick. Like, they're all very similar when it's all there. Steven Drakes in the chat asks, who are the under the radar plays that no one might be on? That's a great play, Steven. Our great question. Let me pull up the projected ownership so far, and we can have a little bit of fun with this if we have some numbers here from Fantasy National. We got a few. All right. Chez Reavie's actually is projected to be the lowest guy in the 8K range. That's surprising. Yeah. Cam Champ's supposed to be really low, and I kind of liked him. I don't know how high you were on him. I think the Chess and Headley call, he's projected to be 3%. That'd be a great one with you there. Other than that, like, once you get down to like low sevens and sixes, most of them outside like T Dunks is going to be popular. Tom Kim's going to be popular. Gillick's 10% projected, which is kind of popular for that range. What guys might you be looking at to be a little different from the field?
I mean, somebody I didn't mention, with you and Tyler Duncan, I think that's going to give you some leverage if you play Tyler Duncan. Lucas Glover would be another guy. Tringali, in comparison to his price projection and projected ownership, has got some leverage attached to him, according to Fantasy Labs. It's a tough week because of the fact that there's a shit ton of no-name guys in here, and it's just such a bad field. Hickok would be another guy. Chesson Hadley will be low-owned. Yep. Gillick should be relatively low-owned, I think.
He's projected at 10% right now.
Yeah, Labs has got him at – Labs uses another company, but they've got him at 4%.
That sounds more likely to me. I'm with you.
So – yeah, it's. I tell you what, it's going to be like last week. Like, the ownership numbers were so bad last week.
Yep.
I don't know if you looked at them before, but like what I was looking at and then what ended up happening was
way not different.
It was not close.
Yeah, because I was trying to be like a little cute, a little bit.
Me
like
too.
If this guy's like projected to be 16%, I really liked him. I was putting in like 45% in the optimizer or something, try to like go over the field, and it turned out he'd be like 30%. I'm like, whoa, that was not what I would have gone the completely other direction.
Yes.
I'm 100% with you on that one, but I digress. All right, let's recap things real quick for the listeners at home. 10K and above, out of the three players, who's your favorite?
Tony.
Yeah, Tony Finau for sure. Out of the four players in the 9K range, who's your favorite?
Figala.
It's a good one. I actually don't mind this range. I'll take Davis Riley. I like both. I think that's a good – I don't mind a Thigala-Riley start. Might be chalky, but that could be fun. 8K range, who you got?
I'll say Adam Long.
Man, if I go by my model, it's supposed to be Brendan Steele. That just does not feel good. I'm going to go Cam Davis. I love Cam Davis this week. Big fan of Cam Davis. 75 to 79.
Svensson.
Yeah, he's my top one as well. I can't even get cute in this field. So, yeah, Svensson. 7K to 74.
I'm gonna say Hadley. I mean, I think the chalk play is Kim, but
I think Hadley's a great turn. I think that's a great tournament call. I really think that's a good one. I'm just gonna just save some cash and I'm gonna go Michael Gillick.
I like that call.
7K. Like just save either him or Callan Terram at 7K. One of those two 7K guys. I like Gillick a little more, but I think both those guys could put up some serious birdie numbers for you. And then 6K, who do you got? If you have to.
I'm gonna say Chris Nagel, man.
I like that call. Then that will be extremely low owned, people. Low owned. For me, I'm gonna go Justin Lauer. I don't feel great about many of these guys down here. I'm gonna be totally honest, but eighth at the Barber's Hole, 51st, John Deere, miscut, 35th at the RBC, miscut, 46th at the Byron Nelson. He's made basically like six of his last eight cuts. I'll take my chances with Justin Lauer. It's not overwhelmingly heartfelt at all. Cash games will be a little dicey this week unless you just go straight 7K and 8K range. So what do you like?
Yeah, I mean, probably Nick Hardy, Cam Davis, Brendan Steele-ish kind of, or yeah. Probably not Steele.
Steele's cash worthy to me, I think. I'm just worried about
close.
I'm worried about him making enough putts to win.
But that's what I'm thinking. Like
cash, I could see him making the cut.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope
we settled on it.
Yeah. I'll go with Steele, Daughterup, and Svensson. My three pack. Now tournaments. This is a tournament week. 100%. How you starting out your tournaments?
Yeah. Thigala, Gillick, and Svensson.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I'll go Thigala, Cam Davis, and Gillick. That's how I'll start out. You guys piece it around, but I'm going to have some fun with that. I'm debating just doing my optimizer or going back because this week maybe going with like a core and going with the Cascade. I'm debating how I want to do my 20 max this week. Or do I just go 3 max and just go heavy? Like, I have some decisions to be made on this one. But all right, the moment of truth, the fun times here. Who you got winning this thing? And before you say anything, I do think it's funny that Hideki Matsuyama is priced the same as McNeely, Tringali, and Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, that's odd to me. Like, I think that
that's why it was off for a second.
Yeah, no, it's what it was before. Like it's when I first got on here, it was pretty much the same odds. I mean, at least maybe something maybe down low moved, but like I saw Finau at 11, no. But Hideki at 18, I feel like he can just win out of nowhere. So don't mind that. Thigala at 22, super short odds, but in this field, I really like that. Svensson at 35.
Real quick. Yep. You see Tom Kim's at 28.
Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's never won anything in his life.
And he's 7,300 on DK.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be like uber chalk.
Holy crap.
Svensson at 35 will be another guy. It's just once you get past that, you're getting into a bunch of guys who have never really won anything. I mean,
that's Ricky Fowler's
65 to 1 in this tournament.
I think all three, if not two out of the three winners here, are over 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Think about Michael Thompson, easily over 100. Cam Champ was struggling. And I think Wolf going for his first one, he might have been like 60 or 70.
Yeah.
So this is a little tournament.
Bit stronger back then. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks nasty, but I would not be shocked if we see one of these guys like Cam. I don't know if I go back to Champ at 65, but like he's 65, Thompson's 80. I wouldn't go to either one of those, but.
Right.
Like Gillick at 100, if he can get hot, like wouldn't shock me. I know we both like him a lot, but Chesson Hadley at 130, he's had his moments. It wouldn't surprise me, let's put it that way. It could be really interesting. But man, it's rough. Like Hayden Buckley is 130. How far has Scott Piercy fell? My God. Yeah. Plus 150 in this field. We didn't even talk about him. Oh, one guy I want to ask you about, not to bet or to play. He's got good actually history here, but what about the biggest live jockstrap holder, James Hahn? Did you see him on Twitter lately?
No, I have not. No.
Okay, I'll send you some stuff after this because he was on full defense of all his buddies on live on Twitter. It was
funny. Oh, really?
I didn't like fully disagree with him, I guess, but it was just funny to see a PGA Tour guy going to bat for his buddies on live. It was very like usually you kind of keep that one behind the scenes, you'd think. No, he was straight out in the open with that one. So that was a fun one for sure. But final thoughts, TPC Twin Cities.
Good luck.
Yeah, have fun, folks. It's going to be good. It is a fun golf course to watch. It's a pretty cool looking golf course. Like I said, all the water involved, beautiful course. Oh, it's going to be hot as hell and pretty humid, it sounds like. So that could affect distances and just guys breaking down as the course goes on. Cause that's, it's, some of the people there said it's thick air right now. So it'll make things interesting as well. So keep an eye on all that fun stuff, but we should not have any rain to worry about. Thank goodness. And should have a fun one. Lots of birdies to be had. Your guys will find the water. Just accept that. It will happen. Just hope they can find more birdies than bogeys. All right. Make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And I am on Twitter at BD Indrick. We'll be back with you guys next week. But for now, your 2022 3M Open preview in the books. Catch you guys later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.